Breakfast with Spanky, 7:30 to 9:30 on RDU 98.5 FM.
98.5 FM, and I'd like to welcome onto the show Phil Goff, Leader of the Opposition. Good morning, Phil.
G'day, Spanky.
Nice to have you here with us. Well, Chris Carter, you've been in the news a lot over the past month, haven't you? It's been hard to keep out of the headlines. What do you think happened with Chris Carter? You seem to know his handwriting pretty well.
Look, I'm just about over Chris Carter at the moment. It's a sideshow, and we're moving on. But look, I think there are several things. Clearly, he couldn't come to terms with the fact that the public were angry that he had travelled as frequently as he had, formerly as a minister. He took some convincing that he needed to come to terms with that and to acknowledge to the public that he had not been as careful with the expenditure of public money that he needed to be. The result of that was my demotion of him, and he clearly hadn't got over that, and maybe this incident was a response to that. But I think it's also fair to say, if you look at Chris, he's not well, and that may have influenced his behaviour. But one way or the other, he's got to take personal responsibility for that. And the consequences of that is that he's no longer a member of the Labour caucus. He won't be coming back. His parliamentary career is over.
Do you think he wanted to get caught? Because he seemed to change his story this way and that way.
No, look, I don't think that at all. If he had something that he really wanted to say, he should have had the guts to front up and say it. Or if he wanted to send a letter out to somebody to have the courage of his convictions and put his name to it, not to sneak around the gallery and put out a letter containing misinformation that was anonymous. You can't respect that action. It was a serious breach of our rules. It was dishonest, and he's paid the price for it.
The thing I don't understand, Phil, is that everyone in the Labour Party is implying that his mental health isn't good, and that's fair enough on the outside of it. And in some ways, though, that plays up to our Kiwi stigma of mental health. And what I don't understand is, how can you on one hand say that he's not well, and then on the other hand give him the boot because he has to be held accountable for that?
Well, you can be unwell and still be able to be held accountable for your actions. I don't think any unwellness justifies the actions that he took, or that he wasn't capable of making his own decisions at that point. The reason that I say he's unwell is because that is what I'm told by those that are close to him, and that he's receiving assistance in terms of his problem.
And so there's no chance that he could just come back to the back benches if...
No.
No chance at all?
No.
This isn't some... I mean, it looks a little bit like a coup of one.
Exactly.
But he did name something that a lot of people know, which is... Even you might admit this to your very close friends, that it would take a miracle for anyone to be able to lead the Labour Party, that it's a very, very difficult situation that you are in as a leader.
Well, when you've been in government for 9 years and a government's in its first term in office, you do start off as an underdog. That's clear from the political history of New Zealand. But I absolutely reject the idea that this government can't be turned out of office. We're in an MMP situation. I think that it's quite within our reach to achieve a level of support which, together with coalition partners, would see us remove the government from power at the next election.
So you
and that's what our goal is.
And Chris never identified who he thought would be another good leader, but David Cunliffe's name seems to have come up a bit. Has he got his eye on your job?
Look, there is nobody in the Labour caucus that is putting their name forward for a leadership challenge to me, and there won't be before the next election. I can give you full assurance of that. It's simply not true. The people in my caucus are supporting me and the job that I'm doing. We've got a strong team. We've got a talented team. We've got an experienced team with enough freshness to, I think, provide a very attractive alternative to the National Party at the next election.
How do you know that? How do you know that Chris wasn't just a sacrificial lamb? That he had a few co-conspirators and then they all just closed up?
Look, I think it's fair to say that the action that he took was not known to his private secretary here in Wellington, to his electorate office staff, or probably even to his partner. He was acting on his own. There has never been any suggestion other than that.
As far as what happens to Chris now, there is a big difference, isn't there, about being in the Labour caucus and being in the Labour Party. And I know he's had some legal aid and some friends that have come to assist him now. That's well out of your hands, isn't it?
Yeah, there's due process that's followed before you lose your membership of the Labour Party, and the Labour Party has a responsibility for that. They will work through due process. Something that will delay that, of course, is that if he is not sufficiently well to front up and to put his case to the New Zealand Council of the Labour Party, he has the right to put his case, and the New Zealand Council will have to wait until such time as he is well enough to do that. But, you know, none of that is hugely relevant to me. He's not in the caucus.
Yep.
We were focused yesterday back on the issues that are particularly important to New Zealanders, what's happening to wages. I just got something in my in the paper this morning. Half of New Zealanders didn't get a wage rise last year, but their prices will go up by 6% by the end of the year. Now, that's something that's really hurting ordinary New Zealand families. That's what we're focused on. That's what the public would expect us to focus on. We're not inward-looking.
The main thing I would imagine you'd be worried about would be the Trinity of Doom, which would be Winston Peters, Michael Laws and Chris Carter forming some sort of amazing coalition that would get a majority.
That would be a truly miraculous occasion if it happened. But I don't think, thank you, that you or I believe that it's going to.
No, that probably won't happen. Hey, it's been nice talking, Phil. How much do you think all this has damaged Labour Party's reputation? I mean, they have been in the wars the last few weeks.
Yeah. Look, it's a passing factor. I think that most of the commentary over the weekend acknowledged that Labour had been gaining real traction on, you know, not closing the wage gap with Australia, on, you know, the stupid idea of digging up our national parks. The National Party was on the back foot, and I guess my primary regret is that the Carter incident just took the focus off that, but we're bringing the focus right back onto it, and will be today in the Parliament.
Phil, nice talking. Catch you later.
Okay, Spanky.
Thank you.
Cheers, mate.
Bye-bye. That's Phil Goff, leader of the opposition.
This has been a Breakfast with Spanky podcast, thanks to RDU 98.5 FM. To find out more, go to rdu.org.nz.